Hi, it's Grace from Hoppa Mama, and I am here today with children's book author Grace Lynn, and she is in Berkeley today doing a book tour, and I'm here to talk to her about her new book. Thank you for joining us, Grace.
Thanks for having me.
Tell me what the name of your new book is and a little bit about what the book is about.
Okay, so the new book is called When the Sea Turned to Silver. It's a new companion book to my other books, Where the Mountain Meets the Moon and Starry River the Sky. Even though it's a companion book, that means it has a lot of this, there's a lot of the same world, a lot of the same kind of feelings. Some of the characters are the same, but it's a book that stands on its own, and you don't have to have read the other ones to be able to read this one. It's a what I like to call a folktale fantasy. It's about this young girl named Pinmei who lives on this secluded mountain with her grandmother. And there's a new emperor of the land, and he's a cruel emperor that everybody's been calling the Tiger Emperor. And one night, the Tiger Emperor comes and kidnaps Pinmei's grandmother. And everyone knows that the emperor wants something called the luminous stone that lights the night. So Pinmei, with her good friend Yishan, decide to go on this big journey full of magic and danger and adventure to try to find a luminous stone to save her grandmother.
Exciting. So the tiger sounds kind of familiar. Mm-hmm. It sounds like there's a little bit of overlap because I think that's kind of what happened between Starry River of the Sky and Where the Mountain Meets the Moon. There were some characters that overlapped. Are all of these characters from traditional Chinese folktales?
That's a good question. A lot of the characters are inspired by traditional Chinese folktales, but they're not like there's the magistrate tiger whom the tiger character, I'm trying to figure out if I should do spoilers or not. he's not really based on anyone specifically, but he does have a lot of traits that I would say, you know, the first Emperor Qin had, you know, things like that, that I kind of looked into. And so he's kind of an amalgamation of a lot of characters in Chinese folklore.
How cool, because it's really fun that kids can read these books and there are some characters that are more like regular kids that they can relate to, and then some characters who are a little more mythical feeling. And
yes.
So you kind of get a feeling that you're learning about, if not actual folktales, kind of the style or the spirit of folktales.
Yeah, a lot of so I was saying the characters like the Tiger Emperor, he's not from a specific character from Chinese folktales, but these books have lots of little stories interwoven into the big story. And these little stories affect the big story, but you have to kind of read the whole book to figure it out. Now, the big story is mostly my own invention, but all the little stories tend to be real Chinese folktales, which I've slightly adapted, but are pretty true to the real Chinese folktales that have been around for centuries.
Cool. So how do you get your ideas, and how long have you been working on this book?
Okay, where do I get my ideas? That's a question lots of kids ask me, and it's so hard to answer. I get my ideas from life, and my life tends to be around books. So I read a lot of books, I read a lot of stories, so a lot of like Chinese folktales that inspires my books. I have traveled to China, Taiwan, and Hong Kong, and that inspired Where the Mountain Meets the Moon, and so which coincides with these two other books since they're continuations of those.
And how long have you been working on this book?
This book has been a real labor of love. This book has been the book that has taken me the longest of any book that I've written and illustrated. This book has taken me 6 years.
So now you have several different genres of books. You have the chapter books, you have the more contemporary chapter books, the pacey books, and you have picture books, and you have easy readers, right?
Yes, I have all different kinds of books. Someday I hope to go into board books. I probably will never go into YA, but you never say never. So I do write all different ages, but the one thing that's pretty obvious is almost all of my books are about Asian American or Asian American characters or Asian American stories. Even these last books, Where the Mountain Meets the Moon and When the Sea Turned to Silver, even though they're very much entrenched in Chinese mythology and they kind of look like they're like in ancient China, they're really Asian American stories because they're kind of like old folk tales retold with an American sensibility.
Yeah, they definitely feel like they have an American sensibility. Like, I always feel the protagonist is kind of like an adventurer and kind of, I don't know how to describe it, but there's something that feels very open-ended and, you know, even though the character is set in a certain place, I kind of feel like it's pretty relatable to a lot of different kids, which I guess brings up another topic of, you know, who do you write for and who can, you know, like who should read your books?
So these books I wrote really for myself. They're the books that I would have wished to have had when I was younger. They're the kind of books that I talk about this often, about how when I was in elementary school and my fifth grade class decided to put on the play The Wizard of Oz, and all the girls wanted to be Dorothy, and I really wanted to be Dorothy too, but in the end I was told by a friend, I was told that I couldn't be Dorothy because I was Chinese or Asian. I guess now looking back, of course I should just try it out. I feel like I probably could have, like, I think there could be an Asian Dorothy. But at the same time, there's a part of me that thinks, wouldn't it be great if there really was an Asian tale with a Dorothy, with it, like a real adventure story, a real fantasy story that I could really feel like I belonged to. And so these stories are kind of like me writing a fantasy for myself.
And that's so wonderful that they're so successful too. I mean, there's a whole room full of people outside in this bookstore in Berkeley. And, you know, before I got here, and I got here earlier, there were already maybe 3/4 of the seats were already reserved by people who had signed up by buying a book ahead of time. So I think that speaks to how much your books are needed and welcomed by people. I was wondering if you have any, maybe some words for teachers or librarians who are thinking about how and why they should be more inclusive and have more diverse titles and how to go about looking for them.
Well, I guess this ties right back into the Dorothy thing. I think that it was completely, now looking back, I think I could have completely thought of myself as Dorothy and would have been fine. It's just kind of like we talk about windows and mirrors a lot when we talk about diverse books, how books can be mirrors and books can be windows. And really, any book can be a mirror. Books that have characters that don't look like the reader can still be a mirror. But for somebody of a minority culture like me, somebody Asian, I can still look at The Wizard of Oz and find a mirror, but I kind of have to, like, push the veil a little bit. I have to, like, take a step back and just pretend more. And that pushing the veil is pretty effortless, yet, and the rewards are great. Yet, when it's on the other hand, though, I think what people forget is that it can work the other way too. Like my books, which have had a wonderful, wonderful reception. You know, once in a while, I get somebody who, a teacher or a librarian, who'll be like, "Oh, I didn't think that would go. Your books would be so popular here. It's not. We don't really have a lot of ethnic people here, you know." And I think they forget that there's a beautiful thing to be able to push the veil once in a while for the reader. And so for somebody who is not Asian to read my book, they can find something to relate to too. They can push the veil a little and find a mirror as well as a window.
So true. And I know I've actually, I'll just say, you know, like when I first saw your books, my kids weren't old enough to read the chapter books yet, but I saw Year of the Dog, and my niece, who is not Asian at all, was about the right age at that time. And so I started buying those books for her, for like her birthday presents and Christmas presents, because, you know, I wanted to share something, you know, that she might not see. And also because I enjoyed the books and I liked them, you know, and I also, you know, my other son, my younger son, when he finished his elementary school graduation, you know, we decided, we actually pre-ordered when the sea turns to silver to donate to their school, because we wanted to leave something, you know, that was something that was meaningful to us that we thought other people would also be able to enjoy. So I thank you for this. And I know you've got your TED Talk where you expand upon those ideas about the windows and mirrors, and your books are available on Amazon and on your website, right?
Yeah, and any independent bookstore hopefully should have it too.
Okay, thank you so much. much, Grace.
Thanks.
Nice to meet you.
Nice